You've probably heard in one situation or another the story of the motivational speaker addressing a conference of real go-getter executive types. And this motivational speaker pulled out this big jar and filled it with 7 or 8 large stones. He asked the group if the jar was full. Oh, yes, they said. But then he dropped in some smaller stones, pebbles really. And he managed to get quite a few of those pebbles in. Is it full now? He asked. Now, these folks were not go-getter executives for nothing, so they gave a tentative no. Right, he said. And he proceeded to pour quite a bit of sand into the jar, filling in all around the stones and the pebbles. Finally, he managed to pour nearly a whole pitcher of water in there, too. Now is it full? He asked the group. And they said, well, surely it must be. And he said, now what's the lesson that we can draw from this demonstration? And one enterprising young fellow yelled out, you can always squeeze a little more in? No, said the speaker. The lesson here is that you have to put the big rocks in first. In other words, the things that are most important should be taken care of first. You know, prioritize. And this is a good message for all of us to hear in these days of our scattered, busy lives, our alliances and allegiances pulling us this way and that, in days of arguments about masks or no masks, electioneering, health dangers. We get distracted by things and ideas that are really more like the sand and the water, the little less important stuff, than like those important, the go-in-first rocks. The gospel writer Matthew, in this middle section of his gospel, chapter 13, shows us Jesus on a parable-telling jag. We have the mustard seed, the yeast, the treasure in the field, the pearl of great price, the sower, all about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Ruud and Laura's idol showed us the story of the rich fool, about what we should be like or what we should not be like. So what do we do with this wealth of metaphors and similes? And today I want to focus on the ones about the kingdom of heaven. What do they have in common? What should we understand Jesus to be telling us about the kingdom of heaven through these very short, even really one-sentence parables? And I think it has something to do with the rocks, figuring out what is the important thing. The one about the pearl merchant fits very easily into this. And actually, so does the one about the treasure in the field. The pearl merchant Jesus tells the parable about is someone who gets this, that the important thing is the first thing. He has his priorities in order. He spent his career searching for fine pearls, and when the day comes that he finds an extraordinarily fine one, he sells all the rest to purchase this one fine one. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is just such a treasure, a number one priority, the important thing. The lucky person who found the treasure in the field had his or her priorities straight and worked with that luck, made use of it, and sold everything else to buy the field. Again, focusing on priorities. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is the priority. It's so easy to be distracted in our focus, to lose sight of those rocks, of what's important. And then trivialities elbow out the important stuff and become preoccupied with kind of the immediate, what's right in front of us, our own cherished plans and projects. plow along, our focus on the furrow immediately in front of us. And it takes guts to make a move toward the treasure, to sell everything for the perfect pearl, to share what we have instead of stockpiling it, storing it up. Fred Craddock, who was a preacher and teacher, told the story of visiting some friends who had adopted, really rescued, a greyhound who had been on the track. And this dog was no longer racing and was really great with their kids. The children could just roll on the floor with the dog and he would just lick them enthusiastically. Well, in this visit, it got to be bedtime for the kids, and so the parents took the children upstairs for the toothbrushing story reading segment of the day. And so Fred Craddock was left alone with the dog. And so he asked the dog, "So, what's it like to be a greyhound and race professionally? I've never been to the dog track myself." "Well, it's not a bad life, if you don't know any better," said the greyhound. "While you're running well, they feed you well. I had it made down in Florida, racing." And Craddock said, "Well, why did you leave? You don't seem that old to me." "No, I'm not really old enough for retirement. I quit." And Craddock persisted, "Well, if that life was so great, why did you quit?" And the greyhound replied, "If you'd ever been to a greyhound race, you might understand. In every race, all the dogs line up, and then when we're released, we follow this little white rabbit thing around the track. But it's not really a rabbit. It's just some sort of stuff thing that's white and gets pulled around the track. And we all just chase it. And one day, after a race, I got a close look at that rabbit. And to my shock, I discovered it wasn't real. That meant the race wasn't really real. So I quit. I was almost ashamed of having spent so much of my life chasing a fake rabbit. That greyhound had been plowing the same furrow, chasing that fake rabbit around the track day after day until a sudden realization made him quit and find a real treasure, life in a home with a family to love and be loved by." Solomon also discovered a treasure when offered a gift from God. He chose a wise and discerning mind so he could make good choices for his people. So the kingdom of heaven is like that pearl, like that treasure, valuable, worthy, something to change course for, something to upend one's life for. And these metaphors of the perfect pearl and the treasure are pretty direct in their message. The kingdom of heaven is the highest value. But what about that mustard seed? How can such a teeny tiny thing be important or valuable? Or the yeast? Yeast just does what it does. It too is tiny, seemingly insignificant. If the kingdom is like a perfect pearl and a treasure, how can it also be like an insignificant seed and a little spoonful of yeast? Well, so let's look again at mustard and at yeast. What are the properties of mustard? Well, it has medicinal uses. A quick Google search comes up with: mustard is a metabolism accelerator, a digestion stimulator, a cancer cell growth inhibitor. It decreases arthritis symptoms, it lowers blood pressure, it soothes sore throats and respiratory difficulties, it heals bee stings. And the older folks among us have heard of mustard plasters. Now, I don't know if it really does all that, but in A. Mustard also flavors food. It has food preserving properties. Another characteristic of mustard is that it grows wild. It's available to anyone who finds it. Also, one plant can serve multiple people in multiple ways. It's something to be shared, and there's still plenty for all. Even the birds get to enjoy the benefit of the mustard plant, making nests in its branches. So what does all that say about the kingdom of heaven, if the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed? Well, really, available to all, human beings and birds. It's very good for you, it has healing properties, and there's plenty to share. Likewise, yeast. Again, something very small, but as any bread baker knows, it has a huge effect. And this tiny bit of yeast in the three measures of flour of our parable, and this three measures is not our, like, three cups. This three measures of flour in the parable is between 40 and 60 pounds of flour. So that little yeast caused all that flour to rise to make a whole lot of bread. Not just for that baker woman to eat, but for lots and lots of people to eat. So the kingdom of heaven may seem small and insignificant, perhaps, but it has tremendous power to serve so many. It's available to all, it's easy to find, it's nourishing, it brings healing. Another thing about the mustard seed and yeast is that they are potential. The seed has to be planted, the yeast has to be put or hidden, as the parable says, in the bread dough, in order for either of them to grow and become what they're meant to be. Small actions, even hidden actions, have the potential to produce great things. So what else? Both seeds and yeast have to be left alone for a while in order for them to work. A seed has to be hidden underground, and if you mess with it, it won't grow. Same with yeast. You have to let your bread dough sit for a while to rise before you can bake the bread and eat it. Not everything, not everyone, needs our constant attention. We are part of a larger process, and the kingdom of heaven goes on without our poking it and prodding it. We may be a facilitator or a starter or a sharer, but tossing the seed and inserting the yeast are less important than the final outcome, the final fruit. Also notice that the mustard seed and the yeast are domestic images. The kingdom of heaven is something that goes on in our own backyards, our own kitchens, at home. Big time and famous success, that's not what it's about. When we ask when and where, the answer is that the kingdom of heaven will come. It'll come in its own good time. It will take as long as it takes for the seed to grow or the dough to rise. And for where, it's already present, perhaps hidden, perhaps growing, perhaps not fully formed or developed, but present. Where human beings and God's creation work together to bear fruit in the world, a true treasure, a very fine pearl. Let us pray. Gracious God, keep us on our toes, we pray. Instill in us a spirit of adventure, a willingness to drop everything and follow you, to seek the treasure you offer. At the same time, we pray for patience, for a willingness to wait for your good time, doing our part for your kingdom, but recognizing that your kingdom is your doing, your time, your gift. Help us to put the rocks in first, to seek you first. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.